But this evening, we're going to be laying a foundation by talking about the presence of God in our life. What is our everyday life? Put it in other questions. Who are we and why are we here? Who are we and why are we here? What kind of life were we meant for? Are we just an accident here for a few years and passes away? You see, how we think about ourselves in relation to God, who we are, is really the fundamental determinant of our faith. And the world struggles to make us think that we are here alone for a few years and we pass away and that's the end of us. So when we begin to look at the question about following Christ in everyday life, the real big issue is not following Christ. The real big issue is, what is everyday life? What is everyday life? And we have to learn to pick up the question rightly, or we'll never get the right answer. And so we start out with that question, what is everyday life supposed to be like? Now, rather than hold you in suspenders, I want to give you the answer. Your life is your opportunity to participate in the cosmic drama of God's eternal plan for the most glorious universe possible. Your life is God's paintbrush on the canvas of history. You are here as part of an eternal plan of an infinite God. You are yourself an eternal, never dying spirit. You are never going to cease to be. So if you're planning on that, change your plans. God has put you here in this point in time and space for you to create with Him that part of the universe that makes up your life. So whenever you think about your everyday life, think about it as a part of God's cosmic drama. We're going to be enlarging on that. We're going to be talking about what spiritual life is, what spirit is, and why we say that you are a spirit and what that means. And we'll be talking about how the kingdom of God is open to us and we're invited to live in it. But this evening, we start at a more basic level still, and that is with what I call the creation covenant that God has made with humanity. I'm going to pull those verses back down there in case you didn't get them, and we'll turn that off in a minute when you're done with it. Let's start from Genesis 1:26. You have a Bible with you? Methodists seem to be much more acquainted with Bibles than American Methodists. And I like that. Let me just make a statement about it, because I'm going to be using the Bible a lot, and I don't have time to defend it, but I want you to understand why I use it the way I do. You see, I believe that human beings have a hard time finding out the truth about their lives. And I think that's manifest from the way life goes. And the Bible is God's gift of information to us about His nature and about our nature and about how we're to live with Him. So when you think of the Bible, you think about information. Think of it as information. It's, as some people have said, it's like the owner's manual to reality. And so when we read it with all of our intelligence and thoughtfulness. If there's any critical questions to ask, we ask them. But we always keep in mind that this is information about how to live. And the most crucial information in the Bible is about why we are here. And that's in Genesis 1:26. This is the creation covenant. It hasn't been broken by God, though we've had a little problem with it. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Now, let me ask you, and please answer me. What are we supposed to do? It says right there, what are we supposed to do? Rule. Rule. Would you say with me, "I am a ruler"? I am a ruler. You feel any better? God put us here to rule. Now, it goes without saying that He put us here to rule for good, to produce what is good, what is right. Okay? Now, I hope that you will practice that. I am a ruler. Because you're stuck with the job for eternity. You're stuck with the job for eternity. In that list of scriptures there now, make a note to pay a special attention to Matthew 25, 31 through 36 and 41. You don't need to turn to it now because I'm going to be jumping around up here, and I want you to come back to that. I just want to understand. You are appointed to rule for eternity. So you might as well learn to enjoy it. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. Them. Him, them. Which is it? Look, him, them. Look at that. Something wrong with the grammar there, isn't there? Let me tell you. The human being is created as a community. He's not even created as an individual. He's created as a community. And that's because, like the triune God, which is a community, the human being is to be the receptacle of love. You know about, you've heard about the birds and the bees, haven't you? Boys and girls, lovers. That's the heart of the human family, isn't it? And a very large part of learning how to live following Christ in everyday life, training for reigning, a very large part of that is learning how to live in love in a family. The family is the center of the human community. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." There goes the family. See? And isn't it true that one of the greatest joys we have is to have children? At least till they get a certain age. And then we wait them out and they get good again. No, they're good all the way along. I miss my children so much I wish they had never grown up. And perhaps they didn't. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Bring it in subjection to the good. and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing. And God goes on to spell out that situation. Look at verse 31. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and it was the sixth day. Now you see, all of this was supposed to happen by human beings living in community with God himself. They were never supposed to do this on their own. We're left with that job now, and you can see we're not doing the best possible job with it. We are struggling to fulfill the human calling without God. And we don't really know how to work with God because we have entered a time of spiritual death for humanity generally. They're not alive to God. They're not in fellowship with God. They can't work with God. Of course, Christ came to bring us back to that communal life in which God inhabits humanity and enables them to fulfill the life for which they were appointed. The creation covenant. Have you got the idea? Did you write the word down, creation covenant? Because that's the basic agreement between you and God. Creation covenant. Please be sure and write it down. You live in the creation covenant. And that's why every human being wants to do what is good and productive. They want to make beautiful things. They want to do things that are creative. That's what we treasure in one another, is the free creative activity of the production of good. People want to be good, and they want to produce what is good. I've never met anyone who didn't. Would you agree with that? Now, they want to do a few other things, and some of them are not so good. But they're governed by the desire to be good and create what is good. And that's just the image of God in you and me. And he gave you that little thing you call your body. You know about your body. Well, he gave you that so you would have the energy and strength to be creative of the good. That's what your body's for. You may have wondered sometime why you had a body. That's so you'll have the strength to live as a servant of the good for a certain period of time. It won't last forever, but it lasts for a certain period of time. You're given a body. You're given that body so that you can, even if you choose, you can stand against God. And that's what, by and large, human beings have done. By the time you and I got here, things were already in a bad shape, you know. And we sort of picked up the habits and the thoughts and the feelings. And by the time we get where we can make a choice, we've already made so many wrong decisions and felt so many wrong feelings. And it's very difficult to do anything else but drift with the tide. See? But your body was made to enable you to serve God by producing the good. You were given an independent power. And we're going to be talking more about that in later nights than tonight. But remember that now, because your body is very important in this story. Your body is how you get inserted into space and time. Right? One of the first things people want to know about you is what? Guess. Where are you from? Isn't that right? What does that mean? Why do people want to know about that? Why is that so important? Because you see, where you were born, the family you entered, the time you were born, determine who you are. Your body, its birth, its growth, determine who you are as a person. See, your body is also God's way of inserting you into His eternal plan for human history and forever. Body is very important. So let's remember that. Now, the problem was we used the body wrongly. And by using our bodies wrongly, we uprooted ourselves from God. And so now the body winds up on the top, and the world is serving the body. Whereas God was supposed to be on top, and the body was supposed to serve the world. See? So now we've got it all backwards, but there's hope. Don't give up now, okay? The creation covenant has not been broken by God. We broke it, but He's got a plan. And He's going to bring us back. Now, let me show you what the creation covenant looks like in a world where it's been broken by human beings. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And this starts out right where we are, in a world where the creation covenant has been broken. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. There's plenty of evildoers around, and there's plenty to fret about, isn't there? But it starts out by saying, now, there's a different perspective. Don't fret because evildoers are here and because they seem too prosperous. Don't envy them, because they have only a little time. Now read carefully with me verse 3 and following. This is the creation covenant under the condition of fallen humanity. Trust in the Lord and do what? Good. Do good. See, that's what your rule was supposed to. So it's still here. Trust in the Lord. See, that's the way it was supposed to work. Humanity falls away from God, gets called back. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, if you're going to do good in this world, shall we say, you better trust the Lord. Isn't that right? And if you don't, you're not going to be able to carry that burden alone. There'll be too many people out to take advantage of you. And as is always the case, when we do evil, we have good reason for it, we think. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound good to you? Trust in the Lord, be faithful to the good, He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what God intended. That's the way He intended it. What we read you back there from Genesis, this is just a description of the way it was supposed to be, and of the way it can be, and of the way it certainly will be. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. He will do it. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Don't fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Listen to this. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only leads to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Now, will you mark in your notes or somewhere that this is the creation covenant in a world where there are kingdoms in conflict, where there is evil and where there is good. But please notice that the promise of the faithfulness of God is still there. It's open for us. And we can know the reality of those promises, which look so strong that you may want to not believe them. Don't you have a little of that feeling as you read that? Maybe this is too good to be true. But it's not. It's not. Now, how is the creation covenant designed to work? It was designed to work with people living in the manifest presence of God. The creation covenant was designed to work by people living in the manifest presence of God. It won't work any other way, and it will work now, even though there's evil in the world. The manifest presence of God. It was meant to work by human beings living before God as they might live in the midst of a loving family, because that's exactly what God had in mind. And we learn from Paul in Ephesians that even every family in heaven and earth has its true essence in God's family. Paul speaks of how every family in heaven and earth is named after the Father who is in heaven. That's the model for family. We can turn that around now. Jesus often did that in his teachings about God, was to turn it around and use the family, when it is right, as a picture of what God intended for humanity as a whole. And what he intended for humanity as a whole was that we should live in this world as if we were in the midst of a loving, powerful family.